Hi there, it's Melvin. Just wanted to take a moment to thank the team over at Thrizer for supporting this month's podcast sessions. Thrizer is a payment platform that you have to check out if you are a private paid therapist and accepting out-of-network benefits. It basically helps clients save on therapy upfront. Thrizer can help verify a client's out-of-network benefit ahead of the first session so that they get transparency up front on what their out-of-pocket costs will be. I'll tell you more about Thrizer here in the middle of our session, but if you go to sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, you actually and then enter the code STC upon sign up, you get your first $2,500 in fees waived. Again, that's over at sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, and be sure to enter the promo code STC. So we'll jump right into today's podcast session. Hello, hello. Welcome to session 53 of Selling the Couch. Hope you are having a great week. It has been unseasonably warm here in Philly. I'm actually looking outside and there's like fog and all sorts of interesting action going on. And it's just a few weeks before Christmas. It's crazy. It was like 70 degrees or something yesterday. It was a nice weekend, but very unusual for December. So today's topic is actually one that not a lot of us talk about. And for us as clinicians, it's very important. And it is this idea of entrepreneur burnout. Now, truth be told, I went back and forth about doing this episode because this topic hits really close to home for me. When I launched Selling the Couch back earlier this year, I was still working as a clinician 5 days a week and trying to squeeze in the things that I had to do with the podcast and the blog. So that often meant getting up at like 4:45, doing like a little quick workout routine, and then working from like 5:30 to 7 on the blog, going to work, coming back at 5, and then working until I think like 6:30, and then dinner, and then a quick shower, and then back at it until like 9. And I kept doing that for 13-14 weeks or something. And to be honest, I was burned out. And definitely around session 13, I just felt like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. I feel like this is such an important topic for us as clinicians because we're in a unique profession, right? Our minds and our ability to think clearly is such an important part of what we do. And if we don't do things to take care of our body and our mind and our relationships, then it inevitably leads to burnout. I think as small business owners, the tendency is always there for just about all of us because we're such high achievers and wanting to get better and better at business to always try to do more and more. And so my guest today is Jeri Freeman. Jeri's a podcasting friend. She's owned multiple businesses. And today we're just going to talk about burnout and some of the ways to prevent it and some of the lessons that she's learned in her decades worth of owning small businesses. So here's my conversation with Jeri Freeman from ConnectEpic.com. Jeri, welcome to Selling the Couch.
Thanks for having me, Melvin.
This conversation, I feel like, is probably not a conversation that a lot of entrepreneurs have, but I feel like, one, I felt we've always had wonderful conversations, and I felt like this conversation of burnout among entrepreneurs is one that just needs to be had.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So you and I are both entrepreneurs. You have done this much longer than I have. You were sharing this story, so tell me again, when did you first start out as an entrepreneur?
Well, I suppose this is technically my sixth adventure as an entrepreneur. My first was when I was 5 and realized that when my mother was sleep deprived, studying for her master's exams, that I could make some coffee for her, even though it was horrid coffee, because I didn't know at 5 how to make coffee. And I took it to her and I was able to charge her for every cup of coffee I gave her because she was so desperate and so appreciative that I made my first money at 5. So that's pretty awesome. And it quickly instilled in me a drive to continue that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that drive that you speak about, right? Like that's such an essential part. It is like, I feel like for the entrepreneur, the double-edged sword, because on one hand, it motivates us. It helps us to get better. It helps us want to learn, but we also have to learn, I think, to recognize it and to curb it when it needs to.
Yes, absolutely. I'm sure that after this conversation today, we could probably write a book that was called something like Driven to Death or something along those lines, because, you know, that's what burnout will do for you.
Yeah. This podcast was inspired by a conversation you and I had just a few weeks ago about just feeling burned out. And I'll definitely share on my end as well. But I was wondering if you could just share about some of the things that you noticed recently that led you to believe that you realized that you were starting to get burned out.
Sure. Like I said before, I've been a driven personality from very early days. I never really needed external motivation. It was always within me. Everything I did in school, in sports, in my personal life, everything was really internally a driving force for me. And so when you have that, it's really easy just to put the horse blinders on and push forward and move past whatever obstacles or limits that people place in your way. And I think when you have that kind of personality, I think it's probably a lot harder to see the signs of burnout because you're just so focused on that next goal, that next win, and you're not as in tune with what's happening around you. And it's kind of interesting because I'm actually a really sensitive person. And I don't mean that from an emotional standpoint. My senses are really highly attuned. It's for my entire life has been very difficult to overcome a lot of my sensitivity levels. Like, I have physical sensitivities. Like, I get migraines really easily. I'm very sensitive to light in my eyes. I can't walk into the perfume section in a department store because I get physically ill. Like, I get a massive migraine. I feel like I need to throw up. It's crazy. I've always had really highly overstimulated sensory factors. And so I found that very interesting that because of my internal drive, I basically ignored a lot of those signals that my sensory capacities normally would tell me because I've been so driven to do certain things that I just basically ignored sensory signs.
What are some of those like sensory signs that came up in this recent time?
I was getting migraines much more frequently. I mean, like every single week. And for me, normally migraines, I have learned how to keep them at bay. Pretty much, I typically only get them now if I'm extremely dehydrated or under a lot of stress. And so for me, I kept getting these migraines and I just basically brushed them aside and said, oh, I'm just under stress because I'm going down new avenues and things are new and I'm having to learn all these things that aren't familiar to me. And so I just brushed it off as this is just new territory and I'll stop getting the migraines when I get used to things.
So you could like, it was really easy to rationalize it.
Totally. I'm very good at rationalizing.
Well, I think like we all are, I think to some degree, like I even think about like my own journey and like, I'm so good at it. Like I rationalize it, but in a very unhealthy way. Like it's that idea what you were saying, like if I just do this next thing, it'll be fine. You know, I can always rest later. And that's the thing, like, it always becomes, rest becomes that thing that we can do later.
Right. And I've always been one of those people that I wore a badge of pride on my sleeve that I only needed 4 hours of sleep or 5 hours of sleep. Or, you know, I was the kind of person in college that I would just pull all-nighters the night before the test because I didn't like to go to class. And so I would skip class a lot. And then come time for the test, I would just stay up the whole night before the test and read as much of the book as I could read and then go on the test and ace the test. And so I always have depended upon my capacity to do things like that. And I think I finally hit this point in my life. And I don't want to say it's over the hill or that I'm at that age where I'm old. I've only turned 40 this year, but my body has definitely made a lot of changes in the last year. And it's made really a ton of changes since I had my child 3 years ago. Mm. And I'm sure that there are a lot of factors based into my age and the fact that I had a kid and things have changed for me mentally and physically since all of that happened. But my body just doesn't recover like it did when I was 20, right? Like I can't just pull an all-nighter now or push myself on 4 or 5 hours of sleep all the time now, because the fact is I'm going on like 3 years of no sleep with a kid, right? So I have this accumulation of sleep deprivation and stress and that I'm sitting on like a rocky, sandy foundation that's not super sturdy because I've spent the last 3 years as a parent of an extremely brilliant child who loves to press boundaries, which is great because she's going to be an amazing entrepreneur. But it's made for a very difficult parenting the first 3 years which my doctor loves to laugh about. She's been telling me since my kid was like 2 months old that the first 5 years were going to be really rough for us, but that after that, it was going to be a sweet ride. In the early days, I did not understand what she meant. And lately, I'm just laughing at it going, oh, I totally can, in retrospect, look back and see why she was laughing.
This is what she meant.
Yeah.
One of the things just made me think, like, how have you made peace with how your mind is, how your body is now versus what it used to be? Because I think this is a struggle that most of us have. We envision that I've always been able to do this, to push forward. Why can't I do it now? I can always do it forever kind of idea.
Well, I can't say that I've made peace with it or accepted it, but I do understand that it is what it is. And I've done things on my side to try to mitigate factors. Like I do the bulletproof coffee regimen. I don't do the coffee because I had to give that up 6 months ago because it was creating heart palpitations for me. So I switched to organic cocoa, which is lovely and much tastier than the coffee was. But I do all the rest of the bulletproof stuff. And that has been a huge, I guess, saving grace for me. It's cleared a lot of mind fog that was created after I had my child. It has given me increased energy, mental clarity.
So I'm like a little familiar with Bulletproof.
Okay,
but
so
like,
Bulletproof coffee, for those people who don't know it, and you can go to Dave Asprey's site. I think it's bulletproof.com or bulletproofexec.com, something like that. Basically, the formula that he's created for Bulletproof coffee is coffee with butter with MCT oil, which is basically concentrated version of oil. Let's see, MCT stands for... At this point, I should know it, but I only had one today, so that's what I get. I normally have two by this time, but I've only had one. So basically, it's a good fat for your brain, and he has concentrated that, and he has a higher level version of it that he calls brain octane, which is like, I think it's 18 concentrated percentage compared to his regular level of MCT oil. I mean, that's the one that I take, and it's just amazing. It's really, it's just fat for the brain. And then you also put in the Bulletproof coffee grass-fed butter, which is another good fat for the brain. And so basically, anybody who's into like big health stuff, they know that you need a certain amount of fat to have cognitive function. And so that's something that I really focus on, making sure that I get fat first thing in the morning to sort of wake up the system.
This is something that you usually will drink like right when you wake up then?
Or you know, soon after? Or? You know, it really depends. When I'm getting up early, I usually wait an hour, hour and a half and try to just do water first thing in the morning. But I typically have my Bulletproof coffee around 7 a.m. But sometimes I may be up 2 or 3 hours before that, just cranking out some work and doing my water. And I generally try to just do water first thing in the morning just to cleanse the body and clear out everything.
Yeah, I've actually read that our bodies tend to also get very dehydrated when we sleep. So
right.
Just that idea of drinking water in the morning, it rehydrates everything.
Right.
Do you do any other like morning routines when you first like get started to?
You know, I do some... I wouldn't call them routines per se because I don't stick to them religiously, but I started doing some yoga moves in the morning. I don't do a lot just because I've not been focused on it, but I find that if I just do simple yoga stretches like sun salutations, grounding poses, those really make a huge difference. And also when I start to get really stressed, if I'll just go into a grounding pose and start doing some deep breathing exercises, it makes a huge difference. It calms my entire nervous system. It restarts everything. And I've had some breathing training, actually, with my physical therapist. And so I've learned to restart my central nervous system when I'm under a lot of stress. And the breathing thing is really shockingly quick way to do that.
Yeah, I think everyone that is listening would value, I think, the whole deep breathing and mindfulness and all of those things. So it's neat to hear that.
Even it sounds so cheesy even saying it. Because I remember being in the camp ages ago when I didn't do those things. And I thought, oh, that's so granola. Right. But, you know, once you start to reap the benefits, it's worth it. It doesn't matter how weird or funky it feels. I mean, still sometimes in the morning, like this morning, my husband was getting ready to leave. And I started to get a little anxiety. And he was like coming in to hug me and kiss me goodbye. And I just immediately went into like this grounded pose and threw my arms into the air in this yoga pose. And he just kind of stopped and smiled and chuckled. And when I was done, he kissed me and he did the goodbye. But I knew at that moment that I needed it. And if I didn't do it, I would probably forget to do it later. And then it would be compounded. So I find if I'll just do those things, the second I sense or I have the awareness that I'm going into anxiety or whatever, then it just cuts it off of the path and doesn't allow it to have power. So...
Yeah. I mean, I love how like attuned to it you are. It's so funny because I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but So I've always been a big fan of morning routines, but I think after that conversation I had with Hal Elrod about miracle morning routines, it just like it transformed me. So now, like, people tease me, but you know, I wake up like every day, 7 days a week, same time, 4:45. I work, you know, I try, this is one thing, and we don't have kids right now, but I work out, I do some sort of light reading, do some sort of meditation, and by like 5:45, 6, like I'm ready to go. And
right.
If it's a day that I have to go into the office, then, you know, I work, do something related to the blog or the podcast for an hour and 15 minutes, get ready, and then go. But I think just that morning routine, like I notice it now having done it, that it really sets the pace for the rest of my day.
Right. And I think Hal Elrod is a really great example. And I'm really glad that he has done what he's done, because he's made sort of the woo-woo granola stuff more accessible to a lot of people. And I think it's fabulous. I actually want to have Hal on my show because I think he's really allowed people to connect to a level that they wouldn't normally desire to connect to, because they haven't seen examples in their life of people who have used that powerfully to move them forward. And he's done a great job to bring that to the masses. But one thing that I tell people when they start to do morning routines is that, or it doesn't have to be a morning routine, right? It could be mid-lunch. It could be 10 a.m. It doesn't matter what time it is, just that you do it. And the thing is that some people have this misperception that, oh, I can do it for one day, or I can do it for 7 days, or let me do that for the new habit 21-day thing, and then I'll magically be transformed. And unfortunately, we're all very different human beings with different layers of experiences and filters and sensory capacities. And the more tuned in you are to your senses, the quicker you're going to notice the changes. So if you're somebody that has never been in tune with your sensory perceptions, your awareness has never been fine-tuned, it's going to take you longer. And that's a bit of a bummer. But I would say if you don't notice the effects in a week or 3 weeks, don't give up. Like, it's something is really happening. You just may have more layers to slough off than your next door neighbor who saw a difference in 24 hours.
And I feel like us mental health providers could really resonate with this. It's so funny because I feel like we teach clients like this idea of taking care of themselves, having a routine, being very focused, but we often don't apply it to ourselves, especially when we become entrepreneurs or small business right. owners. One of the things that I was thinking about was, and I wanted to ask you, like, so as small business owners, there's always something that we could be focusing on, right? Whether that is marketing, reaching out to somebody, trying to schedule clients, blogging, social media, whatever it is, how do you go about like prioritizing, you know, what's important in that moment? And what does that look like for you?
Well, I have to say, embarrassingly, that I've never really had a plan with that. I just sort of, my personality is pretty much run and gun, do things as they need to be done. But the bigger my business gets, I'm currently at the point where I'm looking at hiring out a team, not just one person, but an actual team, because I've just got so much going on. I've got so many clients coming in the door that I now, with all the burnout experience that I've been having, I have realized and made some assessments through the burnout process that I need a team. I need at least 3 people, maybe 5 people right now to replace a lot of the things that I've been doing, not even to grow the business, but just to keep it as it is. Right. So obviously maybe more people to grow the business, but I'm at the point right now where I'm sort of making processes, partially so I can delegate them out to my team, but also partially so that I can trim the fat. Because one of the things that I've been assessing with that unfortunate Paris tragedy that happened last week, I basically stopped posting in my free Facebook group that we have going because it just didn't feel appropriate to continue posting things about business when such horrible things were happening in a place I had been personally and that was very meaningful to me and my relationship with my husband through our experiences that we had had there. And I just sort of pulled back and really wasn't posting anywhere on my timeline or in my Facebook group or in anybody else's groups really. And I thought it was really interesting because I had this new level of awareness in those last couple of days that, hey, maybe there's a lot more fat that I can trim than I realized. And I think that's a part of my business that's really not ever existed, right? Because it never had to before, because I'm in a different place in my life than I was 3 years, 5 years, 15 years ago. But I definitely think that just pulling back and just having some, and you talked about this, I think you did this a week or two ago, just turning it all off and pulling away from the business and then evaluating like what's going on, what are the goals? Reassess your goals, reassess where you're headed. And then when you get back on, you say, okay, now what broke while I was gone? right? Like, what can I do without? What did I desperately miss? What relieved my stress? And there were some things that in the last 4 days that I didn't do. I pretty much just kind of pulled offline. There were some, and the business just kind of just stopped doing all business stuff. There were some things that I realized, hey, they're really affecting me mentally, creating stress for me. And I didn't realize it until I stopped doing it for the last 4 days. And so for me, those are some of the things that I'm going to cut those things to make room for the things that I know are going to help grow my business.
It's really interesting, like, you talk about that. So I think the biggest takeaway is either, like, how, I guess, planful that you want to be. It kind of just varies. Like, so I'm at the other extreme where I need, like, Excel documents and things scheduled out. But, you know, when I read this book called, I think it's Michael Gerber's The E-Myth Revisited, and that book is probably in the top 5 of books that's really impacted me. And this idea that he talks about in there is this idea of working in your business versus on your business.
Yes, and I've been thinking a lot about that lately.
Yeah. And I think I think as clinicians, as small business owners, there's always things that you have to be able to distinguish where you're working in your business versus on your business. And ideally, you need to be spending more time working on your business as opposed to in your business, because if you work too much in your business, it's just a formula for burnout. I mean, even just, I guess, sharing at a personal level for me, I don't know what I expected when I launched this podcast. I didn't expect it to grow as fast as it did. And I remember around like session 13 or 14, I was doing everything for the podcast, from scheduling out folks. Yeah, it's a lot of work. And I think, and while still trying to work my normal job, and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. So one of the biggest things I did was like, I wrote down things that I was doing on a day-to-day basis that I could automate. But then I also figured out what I needed to delegate out. And then ultimately, like, what is this process of like stepping back and saying, what am I working in it and how am I working on it? Otherwise, I'm just going to burn out.
Right. And what did you outsource?
Well, the biggest things that I ended up outsourcing was, not that I didn't like doing it, but like the editing, the show notes, the artwork, those are all things I think that were taking time and where I could focus my energy on other things. I think the biggest thing for me was that it gave me the thing that we can't ever take back is hours, right? Like time.
Right.
And it just gave me those hours back, and it let me prioritize and figure out what I wanted to. And actually, a lot of it was, I put a lot of like self-care back into my routine. So for example, especially the days that I can work from home, every day, like around the noon to 1 hour or to 1 o'clock, I always like do something physical. Like either I go work out, I take a hike, I go like shoot around, play basketball, because...
Too bad you don't live here. I was just telling my husband I want to start playing basketball again.
We should. Next time I'm down in Austin. But I don't know. It's just something simple as that, because we spend so much of our time as small business owners, like really thinking and being in our heads a lot, and just doing something physical, I think that's just so helpful, has been helpful for me.
Yes. It's funny. I just told him last night after dinner that I want to install a basketball goal so that I can start shooting hoops again, because just the act of just shooting and running around the court to go grab your ball so it doesn't roll down the hill. Mm-hmm. Just those bursts of quick energy, they make a huge difference. And I think I could just go outside for even 5 minutes with my little and shoot around and even just run after the ball after she shot at the basket. And I think that that would make a huge difference for just a quick stress relief.
Yeah. And I forgot the exact research, but there is like some research I read recently how doing physical activity improves cognitive functioning, right?
And yes.
It allows us to kind of sift through what's important and what's not as.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, as we start to wrap up, we talked a little bit about just how burned out you had been this summer. What are some of the things that you learned from that experience? And what are some of the things that you're thinking about now to prevent any future burnout?
The number one thing I learned was once you hit burnout, it makes you super susceptible to falling back into burnout, which is not a good thing. And so it means you have to be much more diligent. It means you have to stay even that much more in tune and aware of the signs that your body, your mind are giving you. And so I would say for somebody who's already hit burnout before, protect yourself more than you think you need to. Because when you fall back into burnout the second, third time, especially when it's really close to the previous initial burnout, it's so much more difficult to dig yourself out of it. And I know because I've experienced it. And so I fiercely protect my time and my mind now on a level that I didn't before. I can say if you've never hit burnout, hat tip to you. And the way to try to prevent that is just to, it's honestly, it's about awareness. It's about, don't think that you need to be Superman or Wonder Woman and do it all. Because the fact is, whether you mentioned you did some outsourcing and it wasn't that you didn't like doing it, I think the big myth that we as entrepreneurs have is that you only outsource something you don't like or you're not good at. And the fact is that smart entrepreneurs, every entrepreneur I know that is making good money and they are growing their business, they outsource things that they do not like to do, things they are not good at, and things that do not fulfill them as a person. Mm-hmm. And I think Chris Ducker is been really the only one that's been vocal about that I can think of. And he has I don't know if it's on his regular website, but he has this great list that you can do. It's a 3-column list and you put things in that list. One piece of the list is things you hate doing. One piece of the list is things that you like doing, but maybe you're not that good at. And one thing, the other part of the list is, I guess it was things that maybe you're good at or maybe you like to do, but somebody else does it better. Something like that. I'm sure it's on his main website. But once I did that, I really got some clarity. And that really helped me figure out outsourcing a lot better because I'm a perfectionist. I'm internally driven. I am an overachiever. And so I'm not used to, personality-wise, having somebody else do something. I do know how to delegate, but I don't like to delegate because I think I can do it better than you. Which is not good. That's a very huge ego thing that I am working on dropping the ego. I've been working very hard since my burnout to drop the ego and say, okay, you know what? It doesn't have to be perfect. It's better to have something done by somebody else than me to get burned out again. Because the fact is, when you get burned out, it doesn't just affect your business. It affects your family. It affects your personal life. It affects every aspect of yourself. I mean, the day I realized I was burned out was the day that I just totally flew off at my kid for literally a really sad little no good reason. She did something very minor and it was something I normally would not have even been irritated at. And I literally just like screamed at the top of my lungs. And she just looked at me as if it was like a cartoon scene. And I was like, whoa, where did that come from? It was just like my whole head exploded off my body. And that's when I knew, whoa, I hit the wall. I am absolutely in burnout and I need to do something about this. Because when all of a sudden you have a different personality and you're reacting differently and less rationally, that's a huge sign that you're in burnout. And so you just have to maintain awareness and outsource before you think you need to. Honestly, I needed to outsource 8 months ago. Mm-hmm. And in my head, I knew it. And I thought, well, I don't want to pay people and get them used to being lazy and not doing all these things I want later and then have to retrain. And the fact is, I should have just done it and hired new people if I had to hire new people, because it would have saved me from going into burnout. Chris Ducker, actually, he just put out a great episode on burnout that your audience should check out on his Youpreneur podcast. It's the episode 131. And he talks about his version of burnout. And it's a little different than what we were talking about today. So I would say definitely after, if somebody enjoyed this conversation, if they think they are getting ready to hit burnout or maybe they're already in burnout, check out his episode because he might have a different take or say something in different voice than what we're talking about here that might resonate with somebody differently or create more of an aha moment.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'll definitely be sure to link to that. Now, I think this topic, whoever is having the conversation, it needs to be had. I think it's one that we don't talk a lot about, but it's something that's so important for us as small business owners, and especially those of us that are in the mental health field, because we provide such a valuable service to others and we need to be in optimal functioning. Because we are like helping others at a very real level. And, you know, most of us, we hear like unbelievable stories, you know, stories that are hard to hear.
Right. I'm too sensitive. I could not do what you do. But I mean, on the same coin, you know, I help people too, just like you, in a different capacity. I mean, I help people make better connections, right? To make them short and long-term profitable, whether they're online or face-to-face. And so for me, when I hit burnout, it was like, oh no, this is really going to impact my business, because how am I supposed to show up on a call with a client and teach them how to go rock a networking event when I am just like, I just want to sit there and cry. And that's the point that I was at. I hit burnout so hard and so fast that all I wanted to do was sit around and cry. It was really comical. It was really just like a cartoon. It was kind of unbelievable. And so for me, same thing. How am I supposed to show up and teach people how to be confident and bring their best foot forward in a person-to-person setting when I wasn't even able to do that, right?
Yeah, right.
So, you know, and some people's businesses require more of them to be a face person than others. But definitely if you're in any kind of field, like you said, the medical profession, if you're in sales, if you are in managerial position, any of those that require heavy face-to-face interaction with your team or your clients, you have to be even that much more protective of yourself so you don't hit burnout. Because when you do hit burnout, it's going to impact the business so much more than it would for somebody that sits at home and does a bunch of eBay selling, right? That doesn't ever really have a face-to-face thing. Because the fact is, when somebody sees your face or they're standing 2 feet away from you, they can feel the burnout. I mean, they can feel the sizzle. Yeah. And you don't want that. Nobody wants to be affected by that.
Right. Jerry, thank you so much for doing this. Thank you for just being so vulnerable, for sharing, and really glad that we've been able to connect. What are some of the best ways that folks can get in touch with you?
Sure. Well, everybody's welcome to jump over and join our free Facebook group. That is facebook.com/connectepic, or I can actually send you a link that'll take people right there. And if you want to check our website out, it's connectepic.com. It's a platform. We do interview. We have an interview platform. So if you want to be a guest or find a guest for podcasts, blabs, blogs, you name it, that's a place to do it. And we actually are getting ready to close our doors in 1 week for the free tier. So if you think at all, for any reason, you might be wanting to do it, jump in while you get a chance to be a part of the free tier. Because once we close the doors, we're not going to offer any more free tier offering. So we're kind of excited about that.
Yeah, no, it's a part of the Facebook community. It's been awesome. I love the things that you post on there.
I know. And honestly, I should have opened it up 2 months ago, but I hit burnout because I was pushing so hard on that launch. And I just decided, you know, let's just wait on opening the doors so that I can give all of myself. So that's basically what we did.
Yeah, no, glad you did. Take good care, okay?
Thanks, Melvin.
Hey, hope you enjoyed my conversation with Jerry. And more than anything, I hope that this podcast episode inspires you to take a step back and look at your business journey in an objective way and think about the things that you are doing for your own self-care and for the ways that you are nurturing yourself outside of work. This conversation actually made me think of a couple of things. First, there's this really good book called The E-Myth Revisited, Why Most Small Businesses Fail and What to Do Instead. And in that book, the author says that one of the biggest things you have to realize is figure out the tasks where you are working in your business versus on your business. I think as clinicians, the natural tendency will be to work in our business. So every time we see a client, that's an example of working in your business. Versus working on your business would be thinking about ways that you can start to create passive income, that you can maybe hire other clinicians so that you are not the sole person that's providing income for the practice. One of the things that book alludes to is that working too much in your business leads to burnout and the failures of many businesses. If you feel inspired by this podcast conversation, I hope you do, head over to the Selling the Couch Facebook community and let us know some of the ways that you're going to take care of yourself and some of the insights that you learned from this podcast episode. Show notes to today's episode can be found at sellingthecouch.com/session53. Have a great week and take good care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.
So if you've been listening to the STC podcast for a while, or you've been listening to podcasts and you've had this thought of, Mel, I would love to launch my own podcast in order to grow my business, just wanted to encourage you to check out our free podcasting workshop, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. You can basically sign up at a day and a time that works for you. It's 90 minutes. And when I do these workshops or when I record them, I truly believe in quality teaching, so it's going to be well worth your time. We're going to go through gear recommendations and how to launch strategically and how to think about monetizing your podcast and how to line up your podcast with your existing offers and how to do it strategically and authentically and not salesy and slimy and all of those things. So again, the link is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop.